Well, hello there. Good evening and welcome. This is Joy 99.7 FM and this is Strong and Sassy. My name is Enimoa Enim Ado. Thank you so much for staying tuned in. We're live and interactive on Facebook, so do join us there if you'd like some visuals. Otherwise, radio is just fine and love to have your comments and your thoughts as well. Our phone lines, our text lines are open, 055-111-1997, 055-111-1997. So tonight, we are talking about emotional intelligence in relationships. Over the last few years, emotional intelligence has become a thing. I guess it's always been there, but it hadn't been labeled for a while. But now it's kind of a big thing, and everybody's talking about it. And so we thought, you know, why not? Since it plays such a huge part in having a successful and enjoyable evening. Now, I couldn't think of two better people to have on the show. First is our headmistress, Ariel, the wellness coach. Hi, Ariel.
Hi,
Enimwa. It's so good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Please, our Slay Queen headmistress. Slay Queen headmistress. Check out Ariel on all your social media pages. Ariel, the wellness coach. She's always doing something amazing.
Thank you.
And our second guest today, I'm so excited because I haven't seen her for so long.
That is true.
But I love her. I know you love her from her thoughts on the economy and Pan-Africanism on the morning show. And she's joining us tonight. I'm not going to introduce her because, you know, honestly, I don't even know her name.
Oh.
Her name changed.
Oh, my God.
So, oh, my God. So, please introduce thyself.
Wow. Hey, hi, everyone. As you already know, so my name is Mame. For those who do know me, Mame Awenado. Queenie.
Ooh.
It's the last name.
That's the new
even though
last name.
The new last name,
that's
yes.
The new last name.
Because the last time we were, actually, I did this show sometime. We did a relationship discussion sometime.
We did. Yeah, we did.
7 years ago.
About
we're
maybe three.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 3 years ago.
Yes.
And you were just mommy and when I
hey,
was in.
Yeah. We're sharing the struggles.
Well, clearly now your struggles have changed.
Well, hallelujah.
Right? Anyway.
Change, not gone.
Change, not gone. They never go. Anyway, so mommy is also joining us after a long time. Away. So I think we're just going to dive straight into the conversation. Let me start with you, Mami. So emotional intelligence, for those who don't really understand or don't define it properly, what does it mean to you?
Good point. So as people call it EQ, people measure that based on your ability to engage with, well, not only I so personally, but actually not even trying to use any definition, but I think a strong sense of yourself and then also with others. So which helps you to be situationally aware, so not just book knowledge, but knowledge of who one is and knowledge of others to be able to interact in a more healthy way, I would say.
That's simplified
to me.
Yeah, that's I love that. Ariel.
Yes.
Ariel is about to give us the PhD version of the definition. I'll behave. It's okay. I'm very sorry.
Please behave. Okay, good. Emotional intelligence, a very wide topic, but necessary for almost every area of our life, not just in relationship, but for our work life, our academics, every area of your life, emotions play a role. So it's quite an important one. And I like that Mami said she won't use the definition. So I'll read the definition so that people can get it clear because it's just what she said. Emotional intelligence, otherwise known as emotional quotient or EQ, is the ability to understand, use and manage your own emotions in positive ways. This is the key word there. How to manage, understand and use your emotions in a positive ways in order to relieve your stresses. One, communicate effectively, empathize with others, overcome challenges and diffuse conflict. So without emotional intelligence, there'll be conflict. You won't understand yourself. You won't understand other people. You won't empathize. You can't communicate effectively. And so it's about you knowing your emotions, understanding them, using them well, and also finding positive ways to express when you have a challenge emotionally. And from that perspective, you are supposed to also have that same understanding for people, empathize with them so that you know that whatever you are also going through, it's likely somebody is also having a different understanding of the whole situation. So it's a give and take thing. But if one person doesn't have it, it affects almost everybody. So it's important, very important.
I said I know, right? Because when you're having an argument with somebody who is just not being intelligent about their emotions, it's one of the most frustrating things. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite thing about emotional intelligence?
The idea that you get to rethink, or what I'll say, think again about your stance about something. So sometimes you may go into a conversation with a particular stance about how somebody is or how you see someone else, and at the end of the conversation, maybe it now dawns on you that maybe they're not the problem. Maybe the problem is actually me, which can be very liberating because it saves you from making the same mistake twice. Sometimes the things that you'd have repeated, but because you learn to rethink from having a conversation, letting the mirror be put back in your face, maybe it's a different, and you know what, you really get to do this through hard conversations, which are not very nice. But even with friends, even at work with your partner, the most uncomfortable things, pushing beyond the, you know how sometimes when it's getting heated you want to leave it, that's actually, if you can, being able to push it through because of the end goal, not the winning component. I think that you learn something about yourself and the other person in the end.
So your favorite thing.
My favorite thing about emotional intelligence is the freedom you get when you have it. You become so free from all the toxic energies from people, toxic behaviors from people, because you understand your emotions and you find positive ways of expressing them and managing yourself. So it makes me more empowered that you can't just get me off. I'm in control here. I understand myself. I know what you're doing. I'm empathizing with you. And so I am at a better space. So it gives me more freedom knowing that I'm not just, nobody can just, push me like a button all over the place and then I'm all messed up. So it's a very empowering and freeing way of living for me. When you're emotionally intelligent, you are in control.
All right. Yeah. So let's talk about developing emotional intelligence, because it's not really something that we are taught. Unless you take a course, like you're an adult and you decide I'm going to take a course. I don't think that growing up in the course of our education, we were taught, you know, anything about being
it.
Exactly. So mommy, again, let me start with you. What do you think? So it's two ways, right? One, maybe how do we learn emotional intelligence ourselves? And then when we're done with that, then we can talk about maybe how to relate in a relationship when there's emotional intelligence lacking in one partner.
Would you want me to touch on both?
No, let's start with one.
The first one?
I just want to ask the second question so I don't forget. First question, make sure you remember. Yeah,
okay. How to relate. Yes. Noted. Let me just use my own example. So definitely there are so many ways, but I think one thing that helped me was solitude. Spending time alone is sometimes the hardest thing because you're by yourself with your own thoughts. But I think those are the
scary.
You know?
Yeah.
But sometimes those are the moments when you get to really reflect. Sometimes you're in a hurry to just run away from you, go do something, go spend time with people, go out and do an activity. But I think that when you're able to stop and sit with yourself, it's very interesting because you begin to recollect stuff. You begin to even understand you better. And I think to know yourself is the first key to emotional intelligence. And you cannot do that without solitude. And I think that that's one of the things that has really helped me. So just being able to sit with yourself in that discomfort, sometimes it may feel like loneliness, but there's a lot of discipline that comes from being alone.
Liking it.
Good point.
Know yourself. So you could be alone and be Netflixing like for hours.
That
I don't
is true.
Think that's... So is this sitting in silence? Yes. Is it like, what is it?
It's
about being mindful of the present moment and not judging it as good or bad. So when we judge the present moment, we are not mindful. We don't like it.
When we are alone, we shouldn't judge.
When you are alone, we shouldn't judge ourselves for being alone. And wherever, whatever emotions we are going through, don't judge it as bad or good. Being mindful means being okay with where you are, as if there's nothing wrong with you. Now, the moment we start defining the present moment as bad, why am I here alone? Why did I do it? Why am I not doing this? We are not being mindful. And when you're not mindful, it means you are always judging the situation or the present moment some way or somewhere. And this is all mental. You are not talking, but the way you are being with yourself in this moment tells a lot about how you are feeling. So mindfulness is the capacity to be here right now and see nothing wrong and not be in a hurry to end this moment.
Mm.
So whatever you are feeling, like she's saying, being alone with yourself and liking it. And truthfully, to be emotionally intelligent, you need to be able to find sweetness in solitude.
Mm.
And for me, that's also one of the things that helped me to become so resilient. Being alone and liking it is the most empowering thing you can give yourself. I had to go through that slope into depression and then went into this lonely place. And then I decided to like it. I'm there alone. There's nobody. It's me. Like it and be okay with it. So what did I do? I started finding myself there by engaging in things that make me like being lonely there. And then I realized I got empowered there and I climbed out of it and I became a different version of myself. So
that sounds so abstract.
What do you do when you get down there? You are alone.
I mean, what if you never get down there though?
We don't allow ourselves to become honest with ourselves to just be okay. Accept now. This is me. Self-acceptance is one of the most important tools to use to get to emotional intelligence. You won't have it everything going well for you, but be okay. You won't have all the things you want, but okay, you know? And you may not be the best person in the office, but be okay. Being accepting yourself with your strength and your weaknesses actually empowers you to know you can become better. But when you refuse to accept the weaknesses, what would you work on?
Mm.
Then there's nothing wrong to work on and you'll be lying to yourself. So it's at that place of that truth that, yes, something is wrong. This is not working. But I'm peaceful with it.
Mm.
Okay. I'm here with it. I can't throw it away. So thank you for coming with me. And in that space, that's when you develop skills to help yourself to understand those emotions you're feeling that's making you feel that bad at that moment. But if you don't accept it, you won't get to know. So what do I need? Now you start asking yourself, what do I need in this moment that I'm feeling all this and I think it's okay? What would I do then? Then maybe you said, I'll listen to a music that makes me feel okay. For me, reading was it. I read and read and read. And so I started building, I become aware of myself and why I am feeling the way I'm feeling. I'm like, it's nobody's fault I'm here. I'm just doing all this to myself. And so I started building that self-acceptance. This is who I am. If nobody likes me, I still like me. Then I started picking myself up again and then growing and coming out of that solitude. And I know that if the whole world doesn't look at me when I step out, I look at myself, I'm good.
Mm.
Because I went there and I was okay with me there. I came up, I'm with everybody and I'm still okay.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you were going to say something?
No, I was even gonna, just to add to what she said, you know, the brain has been wired in a way that it actually goes into what they call incubation mode when you leave things, instead, when you're not too busy doing stuff. So sometimes if you read the law of flotation, Archimedes, talks about the fact that when they were trying to test for gold with the crowns, right? the more they were trying to figure out.
We are saying the story as if we know it.
Oh, I'm so, so sorry. So, law of flotation is in physics, right? So, they're trying to.
We are all like super smart. Like,
oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, no.
Yes, we are. Yeah, we are.
Please, the law of Archimedes says was that we are in TSC.
I know she knows, but the law of Archimedes just talks about, you know, it's a law of flotation, rather. So, Archimedes came up with that in the sense that.
The displacing one.
So, it was about. They were trying to figure out what makes things float. And so I mean the water versus the object kind of theory and stuff. And so that thing came from the fact that there was a king that gave a challenge and then they used the crown. So which one was real gold, which one was not real gold, okay? And so they had to figure out why the one with real gold would float, the one that was not real gold wouldn't float, okay?
Yeah.
And he wasn't able, they were not, it was a challenge. But the more they tried to figure out the challenge, the more it became difficult. So there's a theory of incubation where you leave the challenge.
Yeah.
And then you just do something else. So you disconnect from thinking too much, leave their brain alone.
Yeah.
And then the answer comes to you.
It's very interesting because, I mean, this is actually the first time somebody has put it in a way that is describable, like the leave things alone.
Yeah. Things alone, yeah.
But my sister and I do that a lot. If we're manifesting something, you're waiting for a deal to go through, you're doing, you get to a point and you're just like, just leave it alone, because your everything that's gonna work at some point has to be left alone.
Very true.
So, also, that's the law of flotation.
So, in the incubation, you leave the mind.
Wow.
So sometimes, the more you are fixated on something, the likelihood of even you are appreciating it when it comes, or even something you can end up doing something to wreck it. I'm talking to myself too at this moment.
You're talking to all of us.
So sometimes you need to just disconnect and let go.
Yeah.
It talks about the how, like, you know, life is like you're in the river, and you're, the more you struggle with the tide,
you'll drown.
So you have to allow yourself to flow.
Yes.
But flow. That feels very counterintuitive in a society that's like, you know,
go get.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what you're saying is basically sometimes we should just allow our minds to just
go.
Yeah.
Go to the discomfort place.
Because if you leave it alone, sometimes your mind will go to difficult places. And I think maybe that's your mind's way of like, you know, we need to deal with this.
Very true.
Don't keep me too busy. We need to deal with this.
It may even be things from your childhood that you ignored that will come to you. Maybe while you're even taking a shower. It's like, hey, this thing you've been, this is the reason why you've been behaving this way. Maybe for a long time you were blaming something else. And then now it begins to take you through this thing that, do you see how this made you feel? Connect the dots. You're like, oh wow, I never thought about this
before.
So it will do that to you.
Wow. Advantages of solitude.
Solitude is a very powerful tool, and we need to be able to exploit, you know, explore the fact that being, I mean, alone in itself is not being, it's not loneliness. So it's a place of getting to know yourself. It's a place of getting to like who you are, know your limits, know your likes and your dislikes. Actually, you know, when you're with people and there's so much going on, you can't even hear your own thoughts.
Yeah.
It's like everybody's own is all over
the
place.
It's like where my children are.
Exactly. So I got to know what I like and what I don't like.
When
you're alone
and
you can be honest with yourself,
then
you show up and you become a bit more authentic than just doing what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, there's a chance that sometimes when you go on that path, it becomes a bit lonely, as in real, because everybody, when you become that person who you've done your work and you are flying solo because you don't just go along with whatever is going on. Sometimes you feel like, oh, everybody is not coming along the way I want them to come along.
Yeah.
But they are in a different energetic space. And if you want to be there, then you have to also accept that there's going to be these bumps and all that. So when you get to learn how to be alone and like it, you can be with people who may not be emotionally intelligent, but because you have been able to know how to be alone and like it, you can be with them and not totally always react to some of these things, because you have that calmness in yourself. And the work about emotional intelligence is a very personal thing. Nobody can do it for you.
You've
got to find yourself and do it yourself.
And do it. So, I mean, in terms of developing emotional intelligence, we've talked about solitude. So should we move on to another point? I think solitude was your point, right? Even though Ariel has probably talked about it more than you. as Ariel does.
But anymore.
But Ariel, what's your?
I won't talk. I'm not
you
talking.
You know, if I don't tease you, it's not me. You know. So yeah. So will you tell us? I mean, what's apart from solitude? What's another way that we can develop emotional
empathy? Sometimes empathy is one of the most important tools to let you understand your own self.
So not to interrupt, but yeah. I realize that a lot of people think empathy is compassion. So a lot of people are able to be compassionate, and but not everybody is
can
able
empathize.
To be empathetic. Okay. So the example I like to use is that you, let's say you and I are taking a walk and you fall down into a hole. Mm-hmm. So compassion is like, okay, I'm going to wait for you at the top of the hole and shout, and then I'll be comforting you down the hole. Ariel is fine. Mm-hmm. It will be okay. It's okay. That's compassion.
Yeah.
But empathy is actually, in this case, maybe not a good example, but empathy is actually then getting into the hole with you and sitting,
and
with,
sitting
you,
with you
and being with you in that space.
In
and
that
then,
space
you know,
until help
and,
comes.
Exactly. So empathy, compassion. Because sometimes when you have conversations with people, it's like you can see that.
They don't.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's the same thing. So yeah. Developing empathy.
Empathy, yes. Yeah. Because as humans, we've all gone through something.
Isn't empathy a gift? Because honestly, there are people who are very I don't know if it's possible to have empathy as a thing that you develop. Compassion, yes. I mean, kindness.
Yes.
But empathy.
You can develop empathy. Mm. You can develop empathy. It's also a skill you can develop.
Okay.
But there are people who are born with it, who are just, I mean, like that. They like taking it on themselves. I mean, that's a different level altogether. Mm. But you can develop empathy as a skill. And it's one of the things that will help you to understand people's emotions. Mm. Because without understanding them, you are always at the receiving end, I mean, trying to always fix what it is. But empathy makes you go down to where they are, like you explained, and understand that this person is behaving like this because they may have some challenge. They may have something.
Again, there's a saying, I can't remember who said it, who said you can only go deeply into someone as deeply as you've gone into yourself.
Exactly.
So you cannot be...
Exactly.
You cannot have empathy for someone if you have not dug deep into
yourself. Into yourself. Yeah. So with your solitude and your work, you've done it, that. You've gone into yourself. And now the next thing is you become empathetic to people because you know that what I have, it's likely somebody has it. So when I'm dealing with people, I try to, I mean, appreciate them from where they are. So I don't easily get angry at people. I don't get offended easily by people because I know, okay, what they are going through, where they are, you don't know. I mean, we've read things that say that when you meet people on the road, you never know what anybody is going through. Just a smile from you could be something that is cheering someone up. Everybody is at a particular level in their life and any some space at a particular given time. So without empathy, will be so hard on everybody. Wake up, be like me. Mm. Can't you behave and think like me?
Yeah.
But that is not how to be emotionally intelligent. When you are forcing everybody, change, be like me, change, be like, then it means you are uncomfortable. Then it means you are weak. But when you've done your work and you're emotionally intelligent, you are not pushing everybody to stand well for you to feel okay in your skin. Mm. You're okay in your skin. And you look at people and you're like, okay, I get you. You're doing your work. It's okay. You have this big heart for people. It's not to condone and say, oh, it's okay to do the wrong thing all the time.
No, but it's about understanding
where people are.
Which sometimes, honestly, is a burden.
It is. But because with boundaries, now then comes in boundaries. With boundaries, then you know how to open up to such people, how far you allow.
I even meant that in terms of like, mommy, so if you and I are in a relationship and I have empathy and da-da-da-da, it means that even when you do something wrong, I understand where you're coming from.
Right.
So it's like, I can't, you know, how like, I
yeah,
can't
so
be angry
boundaries
with
you will let them not do that.
But boundaries will protect you from the effects of what they do, but your boundaries won't necessarily change what they do.
Your boundaries can change what they do. If you understand, so there are different types of boundaries, you know, the emotional boundary, physical boundary, social boundary. Is it going with this person to this place that makes them do that? What's the boundary? then you don't go there with this person for them to do that. But that doesn't mean you've cut the person off.
Which actually enforces my point that they will still do what they will do.
But so not with you. Change, but not with you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So you can be with people and build certain boundaries in the way you talk to them, how you text them, so you don't let them do those things to you.
I get it. I get it.
Yeah. Okay. So boundaries is the next thing after you've done your solitude work.
We haven't done, yeah, you see that you have gone to number three. No, oh. She has gone to boundaries.
I had to inject it in because you opened the conversation. Okay, I've kept quiet. Oh, I'll talk again. What's the time?
But mommy,
all for you now.
No. Mommy, so what's your... So we've done empathy, boundaries.
Solitude,
empathy... Well, we haven't done boundaries, but solitude, empathy. So what's your, like, another way of developing? I think this is the last round. Okay. Then we move to dealing with.
I was going to say perspective. But perspective is interesting because it can be formed in different ways. I'll mention two. One, through knowledge. Mm-hmm. So maybe things you are reading, you are studying. Or number two, pain.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing will teach you more than pain will. And, sometimes when you walk through some kind of pain.
The value of the shadow of death.
Through some disappointment or humiliation. When you hear someone, no one will tell you that. You know, besides that, nobody really cares about the hungry than someone who hasn't had something to eat before. The way people, yes, I can have empathy for someone who is hungry, but not the same way someone who's really been hungry, walked that path, will have that.
Hi,
and I have so, goosebumps. You know what I'm trying to say? And so there are some moments, you see, whether we like it or not, we're going to go through. I tell people, pain is like a technology, right? So you want to have chocolate, you take the cocoa, you go through the processing. And people don't like pain, but pain is a technology because out of which, if the perspective is right, the final product.
People have gone through pain and they are still very
You understand?
What hit me one day was the quote. Yeah. It was like, don't waste your pain. I'm like,
the perspective.
No, for me, quotes have been one of the things that helped me a lot. So I still love reading quotes and meditating on them, reading 100%. It and don't waste your pain. I'm like, that was a turnaround for me. So I went back and I'm like, okay, what's in there for me? So it's that's what bring perspective
pain and knowledge.
In.
Yeah. So you cannot just have the pain and be ignorant.
Yeah.
But in the pain, you when you're going through something and you go online and you look out, okay, maybe people who've gone through failure. So the pain no longer becomes just you. Because then it'll be misinterpreted.
Yeah.
But now I see someone's story. I'm like, oh, really? You went through this before?
Yeah.
This is what came out. You walk through life a little more realistic. You don't have... You know how sometimes people are just out of touch?
Completely.
You know how people talk about it? Maybe when you talk about hardship, really? Like, you know, there's a whole thing on Marie Antoinette when the people were hungry in France. He said, give them cake. She was out of touch with reality. Exactly. Yeah. So I think pain has a way of bringing you... You know, giving you some grounding, and so that's why we shouldn't neglect hardship, the process. I've been through unemployment before. I've been through things that were very uncomfortable. Sometimes when those things happen, we are looking for a quick fix, but you must allow yourself to go through that because it's a version of you.
Yeah,
the value-added part of you.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
the gold that has to come out.
I love that.
Yeah.
That we don't want, but trust me, that version of you is that thing that will put you in a room and make you stand out.
I love that.
You see things that people don't see. You can solve things people cannot solve. And I think that's one thing that emotional intelligence, it's perspective that comes from pain and also knowledge.
Yeah.
And pain can be disappointment or lack.
Whatever
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
I do. So these days when I'm going through a tough time, I've learned to, instead of praying and saying, you know, God, why is this happening? This is a lot. I find that the quickest way to end a terrible a terrible experience or something is to ask God, okay, what are you trying to teach me?
100%.
Yeah.
Can I just learn it quickly
and
so that
move
I can
on?
Move on? there've been mountains that I have circled for years. And if the first time I was going round, I had just asked, what am I meant to learn from it? I wouldn't have gone round it, you know, so many times. So I love that. I think definitely pain is the biggest teacher.
Yeah.
I don't think anything teaches you as much as pain does.
Yep.
And the thing about pain is if you're not careful, you'll be bitter.
True.
Like, it's like you have to make the choice.
Yeah.
That I'm going to, like, don't, you know, I'm going to waste the pain. Because pain can make you bitter. Mm-hmm. Pain can make you hardened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pain can make you ruthless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or pain can make you soft.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and
just
needy and all over the place. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I didn't mean soft in a bad way. I meant soft in a way that is malleable. Mm-hmm. And even this, I'm actually talking about in relation to like purpose and God and stuff. Because mm-hmm. pain is what really makes you soft so that you can be used.
You can be used, it's true.
You know what I mean? But then also pain can make you gullible.
Yeah.
And vulnerable in a bad way. So pain has many outlets and you kind of have to choose that I'm going to make the most if I'm going to have to go through this.
And it sits in your conversation about your pain. If you're making yourself a victim, and they did this to me, and he did this, and you can also say, it's for me.
You can always see how healed someone is
for you.
About how they tell their pain story.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
You know, you can always tell.
If it worked for them or...
I've had people who've been hurt for 20 years and they are still telling their story like they didn't learn any lesson. Yeah. Nothing was their fault.
As if it's happening right
down
now.
To them. And you're like, bro, it's been 20 years. Have you not realized anything from it?
Yeah.
So anyway, just also saying that, pain is definitely...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Ariel.
Love that too.
Yeah.
Love that too. Don't waste your pain.
No, don't waste
There's something
your
good in everything. There's something good in there. You have to look for it. And the Bible actually tells us that, I mean, trials have something for us. So you going through something, it's going to mature you. It's going to give you patience.
It's even said that about Jesus, that he was perfected through his suffering.
Yeah.
Again, he suffered.
Yeah. Like, I don't think he just woke up 2 weeks ago.
I know, right?
Yeah.
You know, so.
It was not easy.
So, okay. So we've done solitude, empathy, boundaries briefly,
pain.
And then pain. So I think these are four good. Did you want to add something before we move to? So these are four good ways that we develop emotional intelligence. Yeah. Now, how does emotional intelligence play out in a relationship? Do you want to start, Ariel?
Yeah. I think the first way emotional intelligence play out is in your communication. How you communicate with each other is so crucial. And if you are not emotionally intelligent, how you speak to your partner in a relationship tells...
Point one is even actually is when. Because if you're emotionally intelligent, when your person walks through the door and you look at his face, you're like... This
I
is
won't
not
talk,
the time to break up.
You know,
this issue.
You'll be
this
able to tell.
So I am going to watch my movie. I'm gonna talk about this later.
I tell people I deliberately carve out times and create opportunities to bring up a conversation with people.
Yeah, you know, not
deliberately, not just out of the blue. I want to tell you this and this. No. So communication is one of the places that if somebody is not,
it's probably the most important part, that's the number one
it's in communication.
It's
in communication. If someone is emotionally intelligent, how they communicate will tell you straight away when, how, their responses, their feedback to conversation, everything,
their ability to
understand. So communication is number one. It's key when you meet someone and you want to tell whether they're emotionally intelligent or not. It is in their communication.
Yeah. Also, so this is a little bit off topic, but just a brief experience. So, and this is to mothers, especially with teenage children or teenage daughters. It's very important that you are emotionally intelligent. So even though we're talking about it in relationships, this is just chipping it in.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with my daughter last week and she called me crying. You know, she was upset. I was with a group of my friends. Mm. And so I did, you know, what emotionally intelligent mothers would do, which is not to just start screaming because you know daddy is right. Mm. But, you know, you listen and to validate and to talk through and then finally. And I think if we related with our children like that, we will have much better relationships with them, especially with our teenage children. So that was just by the way. But yes, definitely in your really, because you know when your partner comes to you with a problem or something, it's always important to validate. You don't have to agree. I'm just trying to practicalize the communication. You don't have to agree, but validate. So I hear you.
Yeah,
I can understand you. I can see why you see it that way. before you go to your bat. It's not that they come, no, hey,
but it is not me, it is you.
Somebody, I saw a meme, and the guy had texted the woman had texted the guy, and she was like, you dear, good morning, you dear, every time we call you, you don't pick up. And he's like, good morning, God of War.
God of War.
Of War. Good morning, God of War. Like, we're walking up, no.
So you see, that's the first thing, communication. So how you communicate is key. And I like where you were coming from. The next one for me is deep respect.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of being emotionally intelligent. Mm-hmm. Respect is not just about people earning it because they are high in society, wealthy. Yeah. Just because you've met someone, they deserve that deep respect as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
When you're emotionally intelligent, that respect, it shows how you treat people, how you meet people, how you make yourself be around people, regardless of who they are, whether they are in the same, what do you call it, state of financial position or work. But that deep respect for a human being, you are able to have that capacity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sign of emotional intelligence in relationship. And sometimes for me, I see it when people assume that I'm 25 or 30.
But that's nice that they assume that.
Yes, I know. And
but then,
and
then think, they talk to you like,
and then they talk to me like, I mean,
you're a child.
I'm a child, you know.
I understand you, because when people hear my voice over on the radio or on the phone, they think they are talking to a child. That's like my Bolt food driver. He really enjoyed himself. He really, really, because he called me, he came to deliver food, and I'd been talking to him. So when he came, I was like, I'm coming. I was doing something. So he called back about 5 minutes, and you are keeping long, and we're wasting my time. I was like, I'm coming. Then I came out, and here I am. He's like, hey, madam. Good afternoon. Like, oh, cheer. Next time.
I mean, mine was so funny. I went out with my kids. It was my 50th birthday, and we went out for lunch, and I was sitting somewhere, and they were walking about, and then 3 gentlemen called my daughter. I was with her. They called my daughter and they left me. Can you imagine? It was so painful. They were in their 50s and 60s and they called my daughter. I was like, really? I was sitting there and my daughter went. They were talking to her and I think they asked her, what are you doing here? And then she pointed, it's my mom's 50th birthday. Within 30 seconds, all 3 men were at my feet. They were begging me, I'm sorry, madam. We didn't mean to disrespect you. And all that, you know.
They thought you were like sister.
They said they thought I was her friend or sister or something.
Wow.
And they were all at my feet, you know.
You are very kind because they are alive. Because if anybody called my daughter,
yes, and they know, and typical Ghanaian mother. Uh-huh.
You won't call my daughter.
They will make up a
last
scene.
Last time I fought with a man at the mall because he looked at my daughter is 15. He looked at her from the aisle to the. So I walked back and I asked, "What at all are you looking at? Why? And I was shouting. He left there. My daughter was swimming. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah. So those are some of the deep respectful people.
Yeah. So I should have had deep respect. Right. A pedophile.
Yeah, you can be a
you
bit,
can go
you
a
can
bit
go
crazy.
A bit, yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, you can.
I mommy, mean, you haven't said anything.
Oh yes, I'm practicing.
If you
I'm
leave us,
I bring some EQ.
By allowing us
to speak,
leave Ariel an idea.
Which is good. You have a very good rapport. No. So I was processing. I was thinking about this, and then I think what's coming to me more, I would say, selflessness. And I say selflessness because sometimes it really requires you letting go of your right to be right.
Yeah.
And
I told you so, but I told you.
And honestly, you walk it every day. It's not an easy... Let me tell you, I'm telling you something. It is the hardest thing.
I can feel your pain from here.
And then you experience... This is not even just... This is from... your friendships with family, with everyone. A lot of times emotional intelligence is going to teach you that sometimes it's really not about you. And maybe it's not even about how you're seeing it now. You spoke about something earlier about even the fact that the journey with lessons, right? That maybe there's a bigger lesson you have to learn. Sometimes God will tell you, don't say anything.
That thing that he does,
you know what I mean? you say don't say
don't
anything.
Don't say anything. So you said power in life is in the tongue. Yeah. If I don't say anything, then what is this? Is this life for
and
you?
And you feel like there's so much. There's bro. Maybe like you want to tell your sister, like let them know your peace of mind. It's like, no.
Have you fought with Petrina?
I have two sisters in fact. Okay. But you know, Petrina, even like we have our moments. But the funny thing is that honestly speaking, a lot of times you have to step out of yourself. It's really hard, but that's the only way you can actually lead in life, because a lot of times we are so weak that people can predict us.
Yeah,
they can smell your insecurity. They can tell when you are upset. They can tell that if I do this, I'll get her to do this.
Yeah.
So sometimes the selflessness is not only about others. It's also about overcoming the self that wants you to react.
Yeah.
That wants you to go with how you feel. Because sometimes how you feel could be wrong. And even there's a second thing I learned about the absorbing instead of really looking at to resolve. So sometimes, for example, your child will be crying. And then you say, stop crying. Now, or maybe they're arguing. Maybe your kids are arguing. You say, stop arguing, stop arguing. You're stressing me. You don't want them to stop arguing because you want them to
stop arguing.
You understand?
Stop stressing.
It's what you are feeling.
I do, because you people are stressing me out. Like, I don't care.
Thank you.
Go outside and go and fight.
Thank you. So you don't even care about them resolving their problem.
No.
You're more concerned about
3 days.
You understand? You just want relief
from
them even just leaving you alone. Even sometimes someone's crying. You want to console them, not because you want them to stop, be fine. But you don't, you are feeling uncomfortable.
It becomes
about you. I learned that even from my sister, because
it's
she's about you. Yeah. So sometimes you just really have to step out of yourself and say, this is not really about me right now. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's the only way you can actually show up honestly.
That's so powerful.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Because sometimes we show up inauthentically thinking we are selfless because I'm quick to give you money because you asked. I want you to leave me alone. But maybe you don't need this money. Maybe you need a bit of counsel. But now I'm like, let me just throw money at this problem because that's the way I'll do it.
Yeah.
Or instead of telling you sorry or smile sorry about something, okay, let me just give them a tip or take them out. But maybe all you had to do was sit and say, you know one thing, I wish I handled the situation a little differently and I'm sorry. But we just say, okay, how do I just give her a gift? Just to get yourself from what feeling, the guilt that you're feeling, take it away. So sometimes...
But why are you feeling guilty? Yes. It's more of the conversation you should be having.
But the guilt you're feeling, it's because you just feel bad, not because you're thinking, how could I do this better? So sometimes emotional intelligence is really less about us. It's really teaching us about how to live with people with wisdom.
Yeah.
And to really live honestly and authentically with ourselves.
Yeah.
Because you always show up. Because a lot of times, trust me, we are showing up in ways that we don't know. We think that we are even kind, but the kindness that we are kind, if we have to go behind the kindness, the calculation inside.
There's an article I read about I've forgotten the title, but it's about this thing we tell ourselves, I'm a good person. Sometimes it's not about being good.
My sister says that a lot. You know, every time she says it, we are like, no, you're not.
What kind of person are you?
We use the word
just to comfort ourselves.
No, but I find it,
and really
I find
not
it strange
doing anything
that
to
people
be good.
Tell themselves I'm a good person. Mm. I've never said that to myself. I don't think I'm
a good person. I learned that way hard. I mean, recently.
How are you a good person?
I was involved with someone, and he kept saying, I'm a good person.
The person said
and they were. After some time, I was like, if you're a good person, you don't need to say it.
It's like how people say,
you
trust
show
me.
Up and you're a good person.
Like,
people
me.
Will
oh,
know you're
me.
A good person.
Oh, trust me.
To add to what Mami was saying on the being selfless, let's flip it the other side. What I normally say a lot in my coaching sessions with people is that you are not the reason someone is the way they are.
Unless
now we personalize.
Unless you're like a narcissist.
we quickly personalize the way people behave towards us as there's something wrong with us. And in the effort of thinking, I am the problem, that's why this person is angry, we're always trying
to.
Yeah,
but what if you are, though?
But what if you're not?
No, I'm just saying. I need you to clarify
you
that there are actually times that you are.
People are angry, can make you angry, but you don't act angry. Is what you have in your cup that is pouring out. What do you have in your cup? if you have enough joy, you have enough love, you have enough peace, somebody doing something that is making you angry would not necessarily get you to be angry. You know how to choose. No, it's true. It's true. If you have the capacity to stand in fire, who is stronger? Is it the one who is screaming in the fire or the one who has the capacity to stand in the fire and cross their leg? So your reaction is more of what you have inside you, not what they are doing outside, 90% of the time. So when we start making people's behavior about us, we can't be ourselves, because it's like I always have to be somewhere to please this person so they are not doing that thing.
Mm.
But sometimes it's not you. It took me a very long time to come to understand my ex-husband that some of the way he behaves is not about me.
Yeah, me too.
It's because I did everything in this world to be some way. When I did it this way, it didn't work. I come this way, it didn't work. I did that way, it didn't work. And I kept losing me. Mm. I kept losing myself. Mm. I kept getting more depressed. I couldn't find which other way to be who I am for him to be okay with me.
Yeah, I get that.
Until a very long time, it hit me to look at him from where he came from, where he's been through, what he had experienced in his life. Why can't a normal wanting to have a good meal set him off?
Mm.
And then I realize it's not me. It's not the good meal I want to have. Sometimes it's people, things they've experienced that can't allow them to be a certain way.
I get that.
And so you can try to be anything and still it wouldn't work.
So you can't carry
you
it.
And after some time you will lose you. Then you can't find who you are. You don't even know your name again. You don't know if you like red or you like black.
Blue. Or you and like, then yeah.
You don't know if you like rice anymore.
Mm.
That would be serious.
Yeah.
So
the flip
side of what she's saying is, when people are a certain way, it's not always about you.
Mm.
So you can't stand this way for them to feel okay forever. Mm. Because you can stand this way and after some time, they don't like it anymore. And then you have to change. So when we start understanding these things, we can detach ourselves from these things and not make it, oh, ma'am, I'm bad. I'm not good. Mm. I'm the reason why he's treating me like this.
Yeah. Which is where I think then emotional intelligence comes to play.
Yeah.
Because then you have the ability to be able to discern, is this a me problem or is it a you problem?
It's you problem. Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
That is true.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like there was a question somewhere, but okay. So what were we talking about?
We're talking about how we can show up as
emotional intelligence.
Right, okay. So do you guys feel like you're done?
Yeah, I think we've exhausted
how to show up. So we did in the ways that we communicate.
Yes.
And then
deep respect. I spoke about selflessness.
Okay, so communication, deep respect, selflessness. So now, how do you deal with a partner who lights her off, nobody home? No. Okay, fine. I didn't mean it like that. No, but you know, like I did. Who has no emotional intelligence whatsoever.
Ever.
Okay.
Hmm. So, if you have you're in a relationship and one of the partners is not emotionally intelligent, the first thing you can do is actually first find a way to build your own boundaries to protect your own self, because without that there'll be lots of conflict. Now, with your self-awareness, you'll be able to help the person to become also aware of themselves. So the first thing is building boundaries. Build boundaries in order to protect yourself from the negative, things that will come out from them. Because first, they won't know how to communicate. They won't have empathy. They won't have understanding. They have no wisdom.
Everything. Should you be in a relationship with someone who has no emotional intelligence?
Maybe you didn't realize and you are in it.
too late now.
You are in there. Mm. And sometimes you can love people genuinely, but they haven't been able to reach a certain state. And we can all keep changing and growing. So we can be a mirror for them to see themselves.
The people who are not emotionally intelligent, they don't appreciate emotional intelligence. That's the problem.
It depends that's on how you show it to them. Mm. How you show it to them. Recently, someone was asking me at a program, so you are telling us to be this way, be that way, be it. What if people think I am some way? Mm. And I said, it is in how you show up to them. Mm. You know, you can show up and be sarcastic in the way you want people to know you are like this, or you can show up in kindness, in understanding. So you build boundaries around yourself so that they are lack of emotional intelligence won't affect your mind and body and your health and your well-being. That's the first point for me. Boundaries is key.
Mommy, your point, and then we run out of time.
Okay.
So what's your...
So in terms of everything, or just
in terms of dealing,
just dealing with the person. I think that she said something really profound. Of course, definitely you can show people, and I think that in the showing you need to be patient, because change takes time. I think that sometimes people actually, in the showing, you may be actually evolving and growing and not even realizing that the other person that you were trying to even help, who you thought didn't have the EQ, would have changed. So one day you'd be there like, hey, they don't do this anymore. I didn't even realize it, right?
Yeah.
And maybe they didn't even change. Maybe you changed because you also evolved. So I think there's a lot of patience that you need when you are dealing in that with someone in that situation, because sometimes in that moment, no matter the amount of kindness you show, they may not even see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the time, I can remember so many people I tried to tell things to that they didn't agree with me. But over time, you realize that they start thinking, oh, wow, you know, what you said, actually, I appreciate it now.
Yeah.
Because there's a quote that when the student is ready,
the teacher will come.
Yes. Yeah. So, and that moment will always come with everyone. Yes. So if you are patient enough.
Patience is good.
Patience enough. Yes. All right. Let me take a couple of your messages. Good evening, Enima and the ladies. I'm glad you're talking about solitude. I'm a very solitary person. My challenge is how to get comfortable when I'm out. Is that also emotional intelligence? Mm-hmm. That's it, Frederick. Nana Kwesi says, is there a distinction between IQ and maturity? Interesting. Unfortunately, I don't think we have time to answer. Abeku, do we have time to answer? 1 minute? Okay. Mame, do you want to just quickly take that? A difference between IQ and maturity?
IQ has a lot to do with just intelligence. So that's more quantitative. You're looking at being good at math, written subjects and everything. EQ is emotional. So it's more of a qualitative assessment of a person. And the casual person, please check, because we have introverts and you could be an introvert.
And it could have nothing to do with being solitude. So check out your personality and then. I mean, there are lots of good resources on the internet. Yes. So, but maybe I'll pick your number and then we can have a conversation. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you
to Ariel and Mami.
Thank you so much for being here.
My name is Enima. If you missed any part of this show, it's on Facebook, so you can catch up there. Auntie Fosti is bringing us the news at 8 o'clock. Big thank you to the whole team. Mirabel, we miss you so much. Mirabel is on